Right. If you could, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We're going to talk about seasoning today. And if you're thinking this is not the topic I want to hear before lunch, then just think of how I felt writing this. So I thought about it a lot. I've been praying about this a lot. All right, so I have some decorative salt and pepper shakers that I only use in the fall because they're in the shape of pumpkins. They're cute little things. They're nice, cheery. They're orange. As I sit at my table, they always are looking back at me, looking really cute. Now, since I only use them in the fall, that means that the salt and pepper that I put in them have lasted for a long time. There was at one point where I had had these salt and pepper shakers for like 10 or 15 years, and I only use the salt, during fall for those 10 or 15 years. So then one day, as I poured them all over the salt all over my food, I discovered what happens when salt loses its flavor. Or actually, it's not so much in that case that the salt lost its flavor as the flavor changed. It was really bitter. And I can tell the way Grace is laughing, she knows what I'm talking about. It was nasty. It ruined my food. The food was inedible. I had to throw it away. I mean, it was nice. I was looking forward to dinner. It was beautiful, yummy, delicious dinner. I had to throw it all away. That hurt to have to throw it away, but that's what I had to do because the salt was so nasty tasting. And it reminded me of today's Bible passage. So Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. So the importance of salt and Jesus' words unfortunately are lost on us today in North America because salt is so easy to find and it's cheap. You get a large container just for a few dollars. So most of us, and then you throw in the fact that most of us have heard either our doctor or someone else caution us against using too much salt in our diet because it's viewed as being so dangerous. So this means that we are not fully able to understand the point that Jesus was making to his original audience. When Jesus compared his listeners to salt, he was teaching about the influence that we are supposed to have on the world in which we live. Salt, to the original audience, was a valued item. That's because it wasn't common, and it wasn't wasted, and it wasn't cheap to acquire. Unlike the salt that we can purchase in the store today, salt back then was not guaranteed to be pure. High-quality salt could only be found in a few places in Israel. The gathering and purifying of salt was an expensive process, which made the salt very costly. And it was something that people wanted in their food and in their homes and in the world because of its wonderful benefits. So I'm going to talk today about six benefits to salt for the original hearers and to see how we can apply that, how we can become the salt of the earth through looking at these six benefits. The first one was that it was a preservative. If you've ever done any home canning, you know that salt is a major part of the canning process. Or if you've opened up canned soup or a canned vegetable, you know that salt is the major component. You can't can safely without salt. So it's a preservative. And in the warm climate of the Middle East, where Israel is located today, meat would quickly rot. And so salt would preserve the meat. So since we are called to be the salt of the earth, that means that our influence in the world around us should be a preserving one. We are called to preserve the culture around us, not as an icon to how things were back in the day, but to preserve the culture that exists around us by being the light of Christ to the people around us, to show the pure light of Christ to people around us. We are called to have God's word planted in our heart, so then it just becomes a natural part of our lives to talk about Jesus. And not in a holier-than-thou way, or in a I'm-better-than-you way, or a smug way, but just a natural way. Jesus has helped me today. Jesus is helping me to have victory over this problem. Jesus is giving me comfort during my time of suffering. Jesus is enabling me to walk today. That's how you just naturally include Jesus in the conversation and help to preserve the world around us by showing people that there is a better way of living. There's a better way of doing everything, and that's with Jesus in it. That's how we can preserve our world. There's another way, and that is Christians who are involved in the world around us, whether it be in the workforce or in politics or in the community. My mom used to work for the Commonwealth. Jeff Crotel works or has worked for the Commonwealth. Craig and Karen, they also work for the Commonwealth. I have an aunt who used to be a county treasurer. And I remember when my aunt got elected to be county treasurer in another state, and she was sworn in, another aunt said, "It just makes me so happy to know that my mom and this other aunt were involved in the government, because it meant that there are people that that love Jesus who are involved in the government, that they can be salt and light in the government." And then Michelle March and my parents, they're involved with a community organization called Kiwanis that is it's not necessarily an overt Christian group, but they do believe in being salt and light, you know, helping their community. And because Michelle and my parents are involved, it means that in the world, outside of our church walls, out there in the world, there is some of God's light being shown into people's worlds. And, you know, for those of you who are in secular employment, you know, and I used to be a teacher in a public high school, so I know what this is like, you know, to be salt and light out in a secular job. It is not easy, but we are still called to be salt and light, not just inside of these four walls, but out there in the world, so we can be God's loving, holy disciples who can show people there's a better way. The second way that salt had benefit to the original hearers and to us today is salt is a flavor enhancer. Does anyone here put salt on their fruit or even heard of that? Okay. My aunts do that. And first time I saw that, I thought they were insane. And my mother even told her sisters, "Are you crazy? Why would you ever do such a thing?" And they swear up and down, "No, it doesn't taste salty." Does it taste salty? Okay, well, you've heard of it, maybe you don't do it, but they swore up and down, you just put a little bit on, and it's not salty, and it just makes the fruit flavor more intense. And that's the purpose of us as Christians. We don't want to pour on more than what somebody else can handle. We don't want to be inauthentic. But, you know, if we are salt and light to the world around us, we will make life seem special in a way that it is not without Jesus. And I know I love to put a little bit of salt in my oatmeal. My mom thinks I'm nuts for doing that as well. But, you know, you just put a little bit in, and suddenly, you know, it doesn't taste salty. It just makes the flavor of oatmeal more intense and more flavorful. And I love it like that, just a little bit of salt. So, You know, Maria Taylor, she is a reporter with ESPN. This is an example of someone making her life more flavorful with Jesus. She went to college, and she was, I guess she had a scholarship to play volleyball for a certain college. And her teammate, who is a Christian, said one day that she just knew that she wasn't supposed to be involved in volleyball, even though that's her scholarship and that's what she was really excelling at, because her teammate said, "I know God has other plans for me, and I need to be obeying them." And Maria, who was a Christian at the time, was shocked. What does God have to do with volleyball? And God, you know, her teammate was able to explain to her that faith in God is supposed to trump everything, including volleyball. And that was news to Maria, but it gave her something to think about, and she realized that her teammate was correct. Faith in God trumps everything, including volleyball. So after that, she decided to put Jesus as her focus, her number one focus. And she read her Bible much more. She prayed much more. She became involved in Christian organizations. And after a while, she started to hear God tell her, "You know that fiance that you're planning on marrying? That's not the one I've picked out for you. That's not the one who's going to be a part of my plan for your life." And so she had to break it off. But her life is so much better because she obeyed God and is waiting for God to give her the right person. So her teammate made, you know, put a little bit of salt into Maria's life, and by doing so, Maria then has more of the flavor, if you will, of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in her life, so then she can be used of God in the way that God wanted her to be. The third one is that salt was viewed by them as an antiseptic. The original hearers, 2,000 years ago, they believed that salt would clean filthy areas. For example, if a village had a rapidly spreading disease, they would pour salt in a contaminated area and then wait for a while and then feel that the area had been cleansed by the salt, and then that the village would be cleaned of disease. I'm not a physician, so I don't know for sure if that's the truth or not, but that's what they knew it to be, and therefore that is what we are to take from it, is that through our influence, we are called to be kind of a spiritual antiseptic to a world diseased with sin. So I know of a group of people who are taking that seriously. They are actively using their words and their actions to bring an end to human trafficking in central Pennsylvania and along the Route 15 corridor in Pennsylvania. They, you know, if you don't know what human trafficking is, talk to me afterwards and I'll tell you what it is. It's not good though. And it means that people are being trapped. They have lost their freedom in different ways and they are truly trapped. But there's a group of Christians I know who are not going to just sit by and do nothing about it. They are, you know, talking to their representatives in Congress in Pennsylvania. They are writing letters. They are figuring out ways to bring an end to human trafficking in our area. You know, Harrisburg is a major problem in the area of human trafficking because we are a state capital. And because there's a casino in the area, we are the trucking hub for the Eastern Seaboard. Human trafficking does not just happen on the other side of the world in another country. It's happening right here in this county and up and down Route 15 in particular. So these folks are trying to do something about it. They're using their words and their actions to change that. Now, that's truly being the salt of the earth, because they want to rid our commonwealth, in our society, in our county, of corruption and sin, as well as deliver innocent people. So the fourth thing to the original hearers was that salt was a healing agent. Salt can stop infection and it can speed up healing. We use salt water today to clean and heal wounds in our mouths. Remember, after I had my wisdom teeth pulled out, I was constantly told, rinse your mouth with salt water. I didn't know what the big deal was, but that was wise. It would cleanse the wounds in my mouth. In a world where medicines were rare, salt was used instead. So we, as Christians, through our influence, are to be healing agents to a world that is suffering, whether from physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, or spiritual pain. And that's why today, many, and throughout the centuries, many Christians train to be a part of the healing arts, whether it's be a nurse, a doctor, a counselor, or in some other way of healing people. To me, one of my, I guess you could say, part of my calling to be a pastor is I wanted to be somebody who would, in a more intense way than just being a good friend, somebody who would be able to bring God's healing into people's life in a more intense way. And that's why, you know, whenever there's a prayer request, you know, I pray for it and I pass it on to the appropriate people. And that's why I had the healing service for over a year, because I believe strongly God still heals and he wants to heal people. Yeah, you know, he just really longs to touch people's lives. I love the song that Marty played. It's perfect. He touched me, and he still wants to touch all people. People just need to let him touch them. And so that's why he believes strongly in the healing art of being a pastor and being a pastor who believes in healing and anointing. Now, at the very basic level, I mean, some folks, I mean, George, I don't think you're looking to become a doctor anytime soon, but all people, though, can bring healing to others by being a listener. I remember the best doctor visit I ever had, the doctor could not help me, as it turns out, but man, was he a good listener. And after 30 minutes of telling him all my issues and having his very sympathetic, concerned tone of voice, I realized, wow, I got it. You know, my money was well served. I felt so much better just having a compassionate ear listen to my problems. And you know, that is what each and every one of us can do, regardless of what our profession is or our spiritual calling. We can all be people who listen and then pray for that person and truly pray. Not just say, I'll pray for you and then ignore it, but truly pray. That is when we can be God's healing agents. We can be salt of the earth by being people who bring healing to others. The fifth one was, back then, the pagan world believed that salt was used to give protection from evil spirits. If a baby was sickly, you would pour, rub salt on the stomach. Now, that's what the pagan world, meaning the world that did not believe in God, you know, the non-Jewish world, that's what they believed. But God's people knew, and us as Christians know, real protection comes from a life that is hidden in Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, perfect example of that. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 91 says, you know, I am hidden in under the God, protection of God, because I obey your word. So Jesus was calling believers to use their influence to show the world how a life lived under God's protection would be a life of spiritual protection, safety, and freedom from spiritual attack. That's why each week in the benediction, I always include that, because I know that we, as God's children, we need spiritual protection. And a part of that also includes that we always need to follow God's paths. We always need to pray and obey God and do what he tells us to do, to forgive others, to not hold grudges, to seek his face each and every day, and pray for his divine protection and for his angels to surround us. When we do this, that is when we will have protection. It's not through salt, but we can be the salt of the earth by telling others how to get protection, how to have their problems end when we tell, or, you know, if the problems are caused by spiritual attack, how to have that end. By following Jesus, having Jesus Christ in your heart. So when we tell others about Jesus, That's how we can be salt, as in a protective way. And then another way that we can have salt as a protective element to our lives is when we are safe people. By that I mean, you know, there are a few people in my world that when I tell them something, I know it's not going to go anyplace. I know I'm not going to be condemned or judged. I can tell them I did the worst thing on the face of this earth, and this other person's not going to judge me. Other person will listen to me, and the other person will keep it to themselves. That is how we can be safe. That's how we can provide protection to the people around us, is when we are safe people. When we don't have an agenda in the conversation. Have you ever noticed, sometimes, you know, if you say something, it seems like the other person's not really listening. Instead, they're forming their response, which shows that they're not really listening. Or somebody who always interrupts what you're trying to say. Those are not really safe people. And we, as Christians, we can be the salt of the earth by being safe people. We can let others know we are somebody who's not going to gossip. We're not going to backbite. We're not going to use that against them. We're not going to interrupt. Instead, we will be listeners. And that's how we can be safe. And then the last one is salt was used as a fertilizer. And I forgot to ask my mother, the farmer's daughter and big gardener, if she ever tried this, but small amounts of salt would actually help seeds to grow better. So along the lines of being somebody safe for people to talk to, we can be the salt of the earth when we use our words to build others up, when we are gracious, when we are loving, when we're merciful, when we focus on what somebody's doing right instead of harping on what they're doing wrong, we are building others up. Colossians 4 says that our conversations are to be graceful and as tasty as meat that had been seasoned with salt. You know, I remember one time observing that my mom was sprinkling a little bit of salt on her steak. I thought she was weird. Why would you ever do that, Mom? She's like, taste it. It was good. It was really good. And that is the effect our words, our presence is to have on others. So that when somebody has been in our presence, they can just feel the love of Jesus Christ coming out of us. And I realize that's a pretty tall order, but our God is pretty big, right? He can change us. If we let him and ask him to, he can change us. So that we are people who are so filled with grace and mercy and love that when others come to us, they know that they're going to be built up and not torn down. Our words, truly, our words make a difference in people's lives. When we use our words, our mouths, to build people up, we are being the salt of the earth because it's then freeing the other person to become all that God meant them to be. My example is a former pastor of mine. He was the Faith Promise speaker here in March. He's somebody who's very much an example of that. Always affirming, always building people up. And in his presence, I could feel God's pleasure because he would always tell me everything I was doing right. And even if there was something to be corrected, he managed to do it in such an affirming way that it was no big deal at all. And another aunt of mine, the one who was, you know, elected to county position, she was the same way. Her words were always used to build up. And when I was ever in her presence, I felt like she was treating me like the queen had come for tea. Her words built me up. I wanted to do so much more because Aunt Marcia knew I could and told me so. And that is how we can have an effect on others that leaves them going, this is wonderful, like you would after eating that steak with a little bit of salt on it. Now, but what about the salt what about the salt that I said that tasted so nasty because it was bitter? Remember, I had to throw it away because it's inedible. Salt in the time of Jesus would have that same effect if it had not been purified first. Impure salt was useless salt. So Jesus compares a disciple who does not live out the values of the kingdom with unsalty salt, salt that cannot fulfill its purpose. So those who live out the values of the kingdom of God are those who exhibit the Beatitudes. That is what we are reading in the responsive reading, were the Beatitudes. So those who are poor in spirit, those that mourn the lost spiritual state of those around them, those who are meek, which means, you know, you're humble, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, those people are the ones who are acting the way that Christians are supposed to be. They're the ones who are the salt of the earth. Also, those who show the fruit of the Spirit, that's something else that we were saying in the responsive reading. Those are the ones who are the fruit of the Spirit, or who are salt of the earth. So those who have more of God's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those are the ones who are the salt of the earth. But salt that has lost its flavor is either tasteless or, in my case, it was bitter. So when Christians are bitter, when they hold on to bitterness and hold on to grudges, they are not the salt of the earth. And basically, Jesus is saying, you are worthless as a disciple. It's pretty harsh, but that's how bad it is when disciples do not act like Christ. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 gives more examples of Christians who are basically useless as disciples of Christ. Those people who engage in sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Those are Christians that are like unsalty salt that does not fulfill its purpose. So the thing to keep in mind is if we are no different than the world around us, then we are not fulfilling our purpose. We are unsalty salt, if not bitter salt. So when Christians are acting like the salt of the earth, our words bring preservation. They add flavor to life. They make life taste better. They bring healing to the sick. They disinfect and free those sick from sin. They bring safety and protection and deliverance to those around us. And are so faith-filled that they create a blessed environment. So the question for you is, how salty are you? Now I realize what I just know is describing is pretty tall order. But that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is not something that can be attained with a simple prayer. It's something that takes a lifetime. It means that even those who have been Christians for decades still have something more to do in their walk with Christ. None of us has arrived at this point. We're perfectly pure salt. None of us have arrived at that point. But all of us should be at some point in the purification process. We should all be able to say, I've arrived a lot farther than I was last year at this time, or last month at this time. We should not be how we were in the past. We should be better than what we were in the past. We should be more like a disciple of Christ now than we were in the past. We all have something that we still need to be reaching for. And the good news is the Holy Spirit is there to enable us to be more like the salt of the earth that he has called us to be. So, things to think about. Do your words speak uplifting, grace-filled, faith-filled, and are safe, that others in your presence feel affirmed and valued? Do they feel like life has been given to them because of your words and your actions and your presence? Do you use your words to bring freedom to others, whether it be physical freedom, emotional freedom, mental freedom, or spiritual freedom? Do you feel God nudging you to put him and his ways first before everything else so that you can be a better light to those around you? Are you being called to put your faith into action in a more overt way? Or are you so negative that others are not uplifted and don't want to be around you? Are you a bitter person? One of my former maintenance guys at a previous apartment was a professing Christian, but one that was so negative and bitter over the state of the world that he could only say negative and vindictive words about it. I tried my hardest to help him see that God still loved the world, God's Holy Spirit was still moving in the world, and God still is working to redeem, to reach out to everybody. But he only wanted to be negative and bitter. He rejected my words. And after he left, I shuddered. Seriously, I opened the porch door, I opened the windows, and I said, negative spirits, leave now in the name of Jesus. Because he had ruined my day. And I didn't want him to ruin it, have that kind of power over me. We are not to be like that, because that guy, his Christian walk was basically useless in my, for me, in my mind. And then something to remember is that we are not saved only so that we can go to heaven one day or to have a better life for ourselves and our kids. We are saved so that we can make a difference in the world around us. And that is truly what we are saved for, is that we can make a difference. Because if we don't, who will? God is calling on us. So I'd like to take a few minutes for us to pray and ask God to show us in what areas we are not being very salty and what impurities need to leave our lives so that we can become valuable salt. And then after that, ask God to show you the direction that you need to take so that you can fulfill your purpose as a disciple of Christ. Feel free to pray in your seats, or you can pray here at the altar, whichever one you feel led to do. But take a few moments and just say, God, I'm listening. And let God shine his light in what area of your life he wants you to become more salty. Dear God, this is a message that is definitely meant for each and every one of us. Because I think that we can all admit that none of us have arrived. There's always room for improvement. There's always an area that needs your light to shine upon. I pray, God, that we will all be willing to show you, to let you shine your light. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will come into each and every heart, enabling us to hear and to receive your conviction and your hand saying, this is the way, walk in it. Need to become more salty in this area. And I pray, God, that each one of us will be willing to come out of our comfort zone and to become somebody who is so focused on being the salt of the earth and so focused on Jesus Christ that we will truly leave others with the feeling of they've been in the presence of God. I pray, God, that each person here will capture the vision of what it means to truly be the salt of the earth, to truly know what it means to be pure, holy, and faithful, so that we can be the kind of Christians that you can use to make a difference in the world around us, to be salt and to be light. you'll be able to thank you. As we see ourselves grow in that area, we'll be able to thank you and praise you for all of your wonder-working power. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.